Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Here together, dear God, to hear your word, oh God, and you to speak through me tonight, dear God. I pray, dear God, that your spirit will even speak things that I may not even be able to say, dear God. Give me the wisdom and insight to share your word with clarity and with wisdom, dear God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody say it. Amen. All right, I ended up on Hebrews 2 last time. So if you guys missed it, we went through Hebrews. We talked about God's view of sin. The reason why we started talking about seeing God at the beginning of the year, I think it was the day after the New Year's, he told me to talk about bondage. And not just bondage so we can say, oh, I want to be in bondage. Because nobody says that, right? But even the people, when you think about the people in Egypt, when they were in bondage, they were actually used to it. So when Moses was like, yo, we're going to get out of here, they're like, out of here? I like it here. I got onions. I mean, now, listen, you can grow onions. It's not that difficult. It's not like Egypt was the only ones that made onions. But they said garlic and onions. That was the thing that went, man, their breath was stinking. All they wanted was garlic and onions. Now, I've been cooking with garlic and onions lately, and it does taste better. It makes it taste better when you blend it with right. But I'm not going to be in slavery for no onions and garlic. I can live without that. But you see that they were used to bondage. They got used to it. They were comfortable in their bondage. Amen. And what God was saying is there's a lot of people that are comfortable in their bondage right now because they don't know what freedom is. Cool. They haven't seen freedom. And God is sharing with us how we can be free from the sin bondage that continues to plague us today. Amen.
Yeah.
Number one. So I'm kind of giving you guys a quick preview. I'm not going to go through the list, but we talked about how sin entered to the world. We talked about how sin equals death. Now, in our physical bodies, every time we sin, we don't see somebody just die, right? Where somebody tells a lie, Freddie, you was at the college and somebody told a lie, they don't just drop down right there, right? But in their spirit begins to deteriorate. All right? It begins to slowly die because they are living in a sin. And until they repent, their spirit man continues to deteriorate. We see King Saul, there was a whole bunch of instances where he began to deteriorate once after another. King Saul used to prophesy with the prophets. King Saul was a great king, right? But he kept doing little things to be disobedient to God. My dad was just talking about this. Weren't we talking about this in Bible study or something? I remember him talking about it. He kept doing little things, and slowly but surely, the enemy started creeping in. Bondage started creeping in. It got to a point where he could not even, his mind was just so crazy, he had to have David, who had a heart after God, come worship to get his mind off the enemy. Basically, he was being demon-possessed, and he had to get free from that. And the way that he got free was worshiping, because David was a worshiper. And the thing about it all is King Saul could have repented. He could have been in right standing with God, but he got comfortable in his bondage. Amen? Amen. So those are, I mean, God is just giving you those right now. But the enemy's job, let's talk about his job. We see a lot going on. We see a lot of destruction, even in the United States. Even in London, we saw the guy hacksaw somebody, right? That's the enemy's job. And I'm not going to say that person is the enemy, but he was controlled by the enemy. Anybody, you guys know what I'm talking about? Where he macheted him? Is that, what did he use? Some kind of butcher knife or something like that.
Meat cleaver.
And then he was bragging about it after he got done. Now, somebody in their right mind, they don't think, that's not what God needs people to do. God doesn't need you to murder anybody.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
We live in a day and age where God, matter of fact, in the Bible, in the New Testament, it talks about as much as it is possible on your end to live at peace with all men. That's what
Amen.
You should do.
Amen.
My brother Leandre, he said he's been at the basketball court and there's been some guy talking trash and he's been getting in fights and everything. But the Bible says, as much as it is possible, live peaceably. Right? So what does that mean if they start swinging? If I can stop before we have to really go, you know what I'm saying, the blows, then that's what we're supposed to do. Now, if it's a little bit hectic and you might have to stop it a different way, stop it a different way. But the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's go to John 10:10. This is a scripture that I've been memorizing lately. I've heard it all my life in church. When I hear it, I hear some of the people hooping and hollering when they share this verse, but I'm not going to do that. Amen. All right, it says, verse 10 says, the thief, somebody say the thief.
The thief.
And when they say the thief, who are they talking about?
The devil.
The devil. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Bondage is a part of that as well. When I look at the word destroy, there's many ways that you can destroy a person, right? There's many different types of abuse. You can destroy somebody verbally, right? Mm-hmm. By telling them you're nothing. And there's unfortunately, there's been plenty of people, especially those that are close to us, who have decided to destroy. We were used by the enemy to destroy our brother or our sister. And we've destroyed them, and now they are in bondage to our words. Mm-hmm. Amen. The Bible says that when you speak, you have the power of life and of death. Mm-hmm. You know, us as believers, we can put somebody in bondage by saying, you're never going to be nobody. Mm-hmm. You're just a dummy. You're stupid. Mm-hmm. And then go pray for them, and then you wonder why they're in bondage. Because you put them in bondage by your words. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful about what we say. The devil wants to destroy us in any way, form, and fashion. But it says, I have come that they have met, and I is Jesus, it's in red in my Bible right here. I have come that they may have life. Somebody say life.
Life.
And not just any type of life, because you can have life in bondage. You're still living, right? Mm-hmm. We know, we talk a lot about the slavery that happened in the United States, but there was slavery everywhere. The United States was not the only ones that had slaves, right? Mm-hmm. As I said, Egypt, they were slaves. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Now, they had life, but then it says this, not just life. He said, and that they may have it more abundantly. Do you know that God wants to give you abundant life?
Amen.
What does abundant mean? Come on, Fred, help me out. What's abundant mean, man?
The most.
Anybody else? Abundant. I know you always be looking at words, man. What's up? Abundant.
More than enough.
More than enough. Free.
Overflowing.
Freedom is a part of abundant life, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when we look about why Jesus came, did he just came to give people that have a normal life, just to have a good life? What is part of the main reason Jesus came was to set us free.
Amen.
Right? And what did he set us free from? The Bible says sin and death, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Sin, sickness, he's came to set us free, heal us. So when we think about all of these things, my mom's giving me some more things, poverty. I didn't have that in my nose, Mom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I'm just messing with her. But when we see why Jesus came, the very main reason that he came was to set us free from sin. I talked about Adam, how he received sin. Because he was disobedient. Jesus came, he's also known as the second Adam, right? To set us free from the sin that we had put ourselves in. I was talking to my neighbor about that. I was like, Jesus, even when the devil came to tempt him, he could have failed the same way that Adam failed. I told him, man, the apple or the fruit didn't really mean anything. Right? The devil could have told Eve to do something else. And as a matter of fact, today the devil is telling you to do something else. He's not even tricking you with apples no more. He's like, man, hey, bro, you got this on your computer. Go ahead and look at this pornography. It's all right. You won't die. That's what the devil tells you, right? Nobody's going to know.
It's not
going to
hurt you.
It's not going to hurt you. That's what he says. Now, he ain't going to tell you ain't going to die because now we know what death is.
Yeah.
He's going to say, it ain't going to hurt you. Oh, man, hey, you married? Go ahead and talk to that lady. It's not going to hurt, man. Just get a number.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. Ladies, you know what he's tempting you with. Amen. She said, oh, yeah, hey, what'd you say? What did you say? But yeah, the devil's job has not changed. He just uses a different thing to tempt you with. So if you take the apple out of the picture, and my dad talked about this, if you take the apple out of the picture, the devil was trying to tempt us to do something. And when he tempts us, he puts us in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus was on a mountain being tempted by the devil. And there was different things. This time, first he tried to give him some food again. I don't know why the devil's always trying to give somebody some food. The Adams, the Adams family, they must have been hungry, both of them. Adam and Eve, it was probably time to eat. Jesus was fasting for how long? 40 days? 40 nights? So the first thing you want after you get off a fast is something to eat. So the devil's like, man, hey, take this bread, bro. All right, matter of fact, make that rock into bread. You can do it, right? Now Jesus, see, somebody looks at that and be like, man, he got off the fast. But why did Jesus fast? When we think about fasting, and this is not a popular topic in church, I'll tell you, a lot of people, if you want to be free from some things that are holding you down, just like Jesus, you need to fast. You need to go on a fast. Now, what is a fast? I used to think fast was just not eating for a long time, right? And you know, sometimes that's difficult in itself. I'll just tell you that.
Yeah.
But fasting is removing anything in your life that can have control over you. Simply, when you think of food, you remove that and replace that with God. Okay? Replace that with spending time with God. Replace that with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm fasting, one of the main things that I keep telling myself when my stomach growls, because it's all right, right? Your stomach's like, yo, it's time to eat. I mean, you hear it talking. You smell everything that people are cooking. I mean, I've been places delivering when I was at my last job, and they got feasts. And I go back there when I'm not fasting, there's no feast. So I was like, man, okay, this is the devil. And they weren't really the devil. But when you're fasting, you smell everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even when you cook for your kids, you, Jesus. And now I know because my mom and dad had to cook for me. I was like, man. So you be trying to, first of all, you know, my kids got to know that I'm a good cook. Right?
Yes.
I don't want to give them nothing that I wouldn't eat.
Right.
But you can't taste it when you're fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But you smell it. You be like, Lord Jesus. And what I tell myself, I say, God, I love you more than I love food right now. That's what I keep on saying. God, I love you more than I love food. I want to be with you more than I want to eat right now. Body, shut up. That's what I say. And I might not say shut up because the kids might copy that. Body, be quiet. But the reason why Jesus did that is because he had to get himself in a place where he was going to listen to God.
Amen.
More than he was going to listen to his body.
Amen.
Now, it's not really stated in the Bible whether Jesus fasted any other time, right? We don't see where it says Jesus fasted again at this place. But in order to defeat the temptation, some of us are going to have to go on a fast. I didn't even have this in my notes, but God is trying to say something. Some of us are going to have to go on a fast so that we can defeat the temptation that the devil is trying to tempt us with. Amen?
Amen.
I can go on a whole other study on fasting, but we're not going to do that today. But as Jesus fasted, it put him in a place where he was closer to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Say he was closer to God.
He was closer to God.
Therefore, he would listen to God versus listening to the devil or temptations. Fasting is a great way to yield to our God. Thus, which means since he did that, he was not able to be under bondage that the devil had for him. Do you guys know that if Jesus were to turn that bread into, or that rock into bread, we still would be in sin? If Jesus did that, there would be no freedom from sin. Everybody would go to hell. You guys ever thought about that? If Jesus was not sent to save us, even the little good that we have in the world today would be gone. Because you think about when Noah was on the scene, God said, man, hey, these people are crazy. I need to get rid of them. Everybody know about Noah and the flood, right? Noah and the flood happened because people were evil. He said, man, I can't take this no more. This is what God said. I cannot take this no more. We're going to have to start this thing over. All right? I need somebody that's living for me, that's righteous, that's going to listen to me versus everybody that's just doing their own thing. So when we think about Noah's time, I mean, we can think about, okay, let's say there was murders going on, right? There was promiscuity. There was rioting. All this stuff that we look at now is like, man, that's sin. Imagine it so out of control that God said, I got to start this thing over. It's time for me to intervene, and this is going to be the first time that it rains. Right? And it might rain a lot here, so God keeps us from getting in trouble. I don't know. But when we look at that, that same thing would have happened if Jesus listened to the devil. Because he would have been in sin because he obeyed the devil. A lot of us don't look at it when he was tempted like that, that he was going to obey the devil, but he would obey. But how did Jesus defeat the devil? He used the Bible. Go ahead and say it. The Word.
Word.
The Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
The first thing he said was, man doesn't live by bread alone. What does that mean? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God.
Amen.
Matter of fact, Jesus said it again. When he was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, he told his disciples to go get me something to eat, right? You guys remember this story?
Yeah.
Hey, go get me something to eat. They come back, and Jesus is like, they're like, hey, we got, they probably brought up some McDonald's back in the day, you know, Israel, maybe not McDonald's. They brought up some Burger King. My mom liked that a little bit better. I don't even like McDonald's. McDonald's, I'm sorry. But they brought him something to eat. It was good. Maybe they brought him some fish fillet, right? They brought him some fish fillet and some bread, you know what I'm saying? They made it into a sandwich. All right? They had some onions and garlic on there because they were free at this time. So they're like, Jesus, here you go, man. We got your meal right here. What you think? Jesus said, I'm not hungry. Now, Jesus just told them to go get him something to eat. So they're like, man, somebody brought him something to eat. And Jesus said, no, when I do the will of my Father, that feeds me. So he said the same thing again right there. We see how it correlates. We have to do the will of the Father to be satisfied. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's it right there.
The next thing was, there was a couple more temptations he had. Throw yourself off this cliff. The Bible says if you do it, no angels will come. Or the angels will keep you from even stumbling your foot on the stone. So the devil was like, do that. I fell down the stairs earlier, right, Fred? I missed a step. And, you know, I was like, dang. But that wouldn't have happened with Jesus, right?
Right.
Why? Because the angels watched his every step. They kept him. So imagine if you jumped off a cliff and you didn't fall. He had that power, right? We know Jesus walked on water. So, I mean, him jump off a cliff, he probably would have just landed on softly and been like, oh, that was pretty cool. Right? It wasn't that Jesus couldn't do it. But he would have been, again, listening to the devil. So he said, do not put your Lord God to the test. Right? Then the third one was, bow down to me. And then he really got to see the whole thing the devil was really trying to do. Bow down to me. Every time you are following into that bondage, you are bowing to the devil, in a sense. Now, none of us get on our knees and be like, Satan, I obey you. None of us do that kind of stuff, right? Actually, some people in the world do that kind of stuff. But normal people don't do that. But every time you sin, that's what you are doing. Okay? Every time we fall victims to sin, we pledge our allegiance, as a way of speaking, to the devil. Just like I said, every time we do the will of God the Father, we show our allegiance to God. Every time we live an opposite way and we do what the enemy wants us to do, we pledge our allegiance to God, to the devil. We have to figure out, who are we here to pledge our allegiance to? Right? That's what we have to figure out when we talk about bondage. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36, and we're talking about the work of Jesus and how he has come to set us free. It's a couple chapters back. All right? It said this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Okay, now, this abide word, I looked it up, man, and this is a cold word, man. I like the definition. I like the definition of abide, and I'm trying to look it up on my phone real quick. Somebody say abide.
Abide.
Now, this scripture is in the Bible a lot, or this word abide. Mom has a song with the abide in it, right? Meaning of abide. And this is a great thing, man. Sometimes we got the internet. You can always search a word, the meaning of a word. So this is what it says. To abide means to accept or act in accordance with. Okay? That's the definition that I wanted to get. To accept or to act in accordance with. Some of the things that are similar are to stay, stand, endure, reside, dwell, remain, and bear. All right? So when we look at that word, if you abide or accept and live in accordance with, all right, my word, the word of God, you are my disciples indeed. Okay? It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we're talking about freedom from bondage. How is it telling us that we can be free right now? By knowing the truth. Now, it actually told us how we could know the truth before when it said, if you abide in my word. All right? Once again, that means to accept and to live according to God's word, you are my disciples. When you do that, you will know the truth. Now, a lot of us, it's difficult for us to get into the word of God, and therefore we find ourselves in all kind of bondage because we don't know the truth. Right? We live in a day and age where a lot of people, even that go to church, they don't know the truth. So they're not free. They are still slaves to their iniquity, slaves to the bondage that the enemy has put over them because they don't know the truth. Even at a young age, I knew that I used to have nightmares that the devil was chasing me and doing all kind of stuff. And there was times where I couldn't talk. But as soon as I could say something, which was always Jesus, the enemy had to leave. And I don't know how young I was. I was super young, man. I've seen people in my dreams, demonically oppressed, chasing me, running all extremely fast, things that people normally can't do. And what I had to say was Jesus.
Amen.
I remember I woke up one time and I couldn't talk because fear was gripping me, right? And I was like, and then I got my voice back and I was able to say Jesus. But then there was a time, somebody said there was a time. There was a time where I had those same kind of dreams and it didn't scare me no more. Matter of fact, I saw in the dreams that the same people that were demonic oppressed, I was able to cast the demon out of them. So when I had that, I woke up and I was like, wow, something happened. Man, these are the same dreams that used to torment me as a child. And when I saw that I wasn't tormented anymore because I knew God, I knew His word, I was like, wow, I ain't gotta worry about that no more. So what I'm saying is, the more you begin to know God, the more that you begin to know His word, the Bible says you will know truth and the truth will set you free. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say the truth.
The truth.
Everybody wants the truth. A lot of times they say you can't handle the truth, right? But you can handle the truth. I don't know who said that first, but you can handle. Say, I can handle the truth. You know who can't handle the truth is the devil.
Amen.
And he don't want you to handle the truth. Because if he can keep you in stupidity, if he can keep you in falsehood, if he can keep you in lies, he got you in bondage. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm trying to get through this series. It ain't going to be 10, Dad. It ain't going to be 10, though, I'll tell you that. This is only part 4, right? Anyways. Verse 33 says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and you have never been in bondage to anyone. Listen to what these people say. They say, you are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? So check out what these Jews are saying. They're like, bro, you ain't never been a slave. How are you going to tell us we can be free? We've never been a slave. So Jesus obviously is talking about something that they didn't understand that they were a slave to. Correct? Because they asked a question like, what are you talking about? You will be made free. This is the same thing that some people will come tell you. Oh, man, I love God. I love the Lord. I just don't do what He wants me to do. But, you know, I love God. You can't knock me. Do you go to church? Sometimes, you know. Do you praise the Lord when I feel like it? I mean, we got all kind of things that people say nowadays, right? Do you read your Bible? It gets real quiet when we get there, right? Because they don't know the truth. So they ask questions like, man, how can we be free? Jesus answered, and this is how we know what the truth is, because this is what the Word of God says. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin, somebody say commit sin, is a slave of sin. Once again, that's what I've been talking about the whole time. You are a slave of sin when you commit sin. And it says, and a slave does not abide, well, there goes that word again, except or live in accordance with the house, this house forever. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? We look at this thing, man. Sin is kind of like we talk about it in the church, but we don't talk about how we can be fully free. We see people kind of get free, right? You don't, like, you were saved back in the day before you came to God. You used to live, you was just bad, right? Now you might have cleaned your act up just a little bit, but you're still living in sin. God does not want us to be like that because you're not free. That's why when something happens, you're quick to lash out on somebody because you're in bondage and you want to let them know about it, right? Anybody seeing somebody have a road rage on the street? They driving. They're just waiting for something to happen, right? You got road rage, man? Ah, man, I ain't gonna say that. But when you got road rage, they're just waiting for something to happen, right? Now, I remember one time I was driving on the freeway, and there is signs on the freeway that say slow down sometimes, right? For example, when you're turning a corner, you get one of those yellow signs, right? Which are caution signs, but it'll say 35, right? Now, I'm going 35, doing what the caution sign says. I got my kids in the back. Some dude gets on me and just honking, and I'm like, why is this dude tripping? he want me to go 60 on this turn, and you guys know, like, the I-5, coming from I-5 north, going to 405, that's not a place to keep going 60. So, and what I do is like, man, I'm not even going to check with him, man. I'm just going to, let me get over, get him out in the next lane, and let him go by. So I get over, and then the dude swerves right by me, like when he drives by me. And, you know, I had my kids in the car, and I was like, man, this dude don't want, and I was about to catch up with him, but I was like, all right, Lord, thank you, God. I always tell my wife, man, when it could have been an accident, just be like, man, thank God that nothing happened, God. Why? Because I'm not going to be caught up in that kind of thing. Now, obviously, that dude was tripping. You know, and we can take that to court and everything. He was tripping. But we have to keep control of ourselves. Amen? Because when you're in bondage, you want to lash out. You want to make somebody else feel the same way that you feel. But Jesus said, I have come to set you free. Amen? Amen. Let's keep on going. Freedom from sin's bondage. Let's go to James chapter 4, 7 through 10. James chapter 4, 7 through 10. James is actually Jesus' brother. He was one of his brothers. Then they had the other brother was Jude. Jesus had a couple brothers. Probably had more than a couple. I don't know how many of them. James chapter 4, verse what? 7 through 10. This is how you get free from the devil's grasp. It says right here, therefore submit to God. Somebody say submit.
Submit.
What does that mean to submit? To listen. To bow down, right? To follow. It almost means the same word as abide, right? Mm-hmm. Obey. Resist the devil. So this is how you get free from the devil's bondage, the sin's bondage. Obey God. We just make it simple, okay? Obey God, resist the devil. And it says what? And he will flee from you. Remember when we were talking about, and I like how God works because I didn't have this in my notes. We're talking about Jesus being tempted by the devil. He resisted the devil. Now, how did he resist the devil again? With the word of God.
Amen.
The devil's going to come knocking at your door. Hey, Annas. Do this. How are you going to resist him? With the word of God. How are you going to resist the devil, though, if you don't know the word of God?
Come on.
You can't. You might get away with a couple lines every now and then. How many know sometimes we can delay sin, right? You can delay the temptation. And somebody coming at you and you married and they coming at you. Hey, man, leave me alone. The first couple of times it might work, then you get in an argument with your wife, and it's like, oh, man, well, this person was saying, you just delayed the sin because you try to do it in your own power. And that's what happens. A lot of us, we get to a place where we think, hey, God, I got this. I don't need the word of God. I can live this thing. I can just be a good person. And since I accepted God, I'll be cool. No, man, you have to know God's word. You have to abide in God's word. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Come on.
Then it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be torn to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves. This is another thing. Humble. Get to know that you don't know everything. Right? Humble is not a popular thing. We don't like to be humbled. I don't want to be humbled, but I need to be humble. Right? We were talking about LeBron James earlier. And I don't think they're going to win, by the way. I think the Pacers are going to win this series. But pride comes before a fall, and that don't have nothing to do with LeBron James. I'm just saying. But pride comes before a fall. What happens when you have pride, you will be humbled. It's going to happen. You might think you're the best, you're the greatest, nobody can stop you. When you get to that place, you're going to be humbled. Because, matter of fact, there was a story about a king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Probably the baddest king the world has ever seen, right? Because after Babylon, there wasn't really kings, there was emperors, and they tried to do it a different way. But King Nebuchadnezzar ran the whole world. He ran the whole world. There was a time somebody came and said, "Hey man, how did you get here?" And he said, "This is what I did. I did all of this. This is me." And God made that man go crazy. Don't believe me, you're going to have to look it up. King Nebuchadnezzar. If you can't spell it, it starts with an N. It's a long name. But King Nebuchadnezzar did, and it's in Daniel chapter 6 or 7 or something like that, around there. But King Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. And the crazy thing about it was, he was warned by Daniel. Daniel said, "Man, hey bro, you had this dream." Remember, he had a dream. He didn't know what it was. He said, "You're gonna be humble, basically." So he was just waiting for that time. So he just delayed it. Somebody say he delayed it. He delayed it because he didn't know the word of God. He didn't obey. He wasn't sitting in Daniel's council like, "Man, Daniel, so man, bro, how can we keep this thing from even happening? What can we do so that I don't go out of my mind?" He could have been under Daniel like that, right? Daniel was a man of God. Daniel explained to him, you're going to lose your mind. He could have been like, "Man, is there another way we can go about this?" But instead he was like, well, okay, Daniel, I appreciate your advice. Let me do me. And he was humbled to a point where the Bible says he was humbled for a period of time. It don't even tell us how long it was. But it says he was eating grass. Somebody say grass. Yeah. It said his nails was as long as an eagle's nails. He was a madman eating grass like a cow outside. Yeah, they said he was like a cow, basically. You know how they be eating and the slobber and all that? That's how this man was. Man, I mean, just imagine. I mean, hopefully they put him back in say somewhere where, nobody can see that this is the king. Because if they saw this, they was like, "That's the king of Babylon right there." Imagine how many cats was like, "Man, let's take over this nation." But they said, at a point in time, he came to himself, humbled himself, and said, "God, you are God.
Amen.
You are God. I don't know why I was doing it the wrong way. Without you, nothing else is going to be in place." And until we get to that same place in our life, you might have to eat grass for a while. We eat seaweed now, huh? I'm just playing. Is greens grass? Kind of, I don't know. Anyway, that's another subject. But until some of us begin to say, "I don't know it all, I cannot do this thing by myself," you're going to be humbled. Amen? I told him earlier, I was going to say, I'm preaching harder than some of y'all saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. I heard somebody say that. I love hearing some of these people in the church. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse. Oh, I already read that. The truth set us free. So after that, I got about 10 minutes left. After we get free, though, there's a way that we can walk in freedom, okay? So once you're free, I know we've been doing a lot of gloom, it's like, but once we get free, The Bible allows us to walk in freedom from sin. We can even go back to that same chapter of James where it said, resist the devil. Once you're free, continue to resist the devil. Okay? You don't stop. I'll tell you this. There is at no point in the walk with Christ where you can kick back your feet and be like, oh, this is the life. I don't gotta do nothing. And you know, in business, in this world that we live in, we call it residual income. That's once you do something one time, like we got our music on iTunes, right? We would love to get residual income where we don't have to do nothing else for the rest of our life. That CD sells millions of copies. Wouldn't that just be great?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But that's residual. That means you don't have to do nothing else. With us, with God, we have to continue to grow in God. Amen? Amen. We have to continue to abide in God. That means to accept His commands, to live in accordance with God. That never stops. When that begins to stop, guess what happens? I always tell people, when you stop growing in God, you start dying in God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we have to get to a place where we are continuing to grow in God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 through 9. I already had this in my notes. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 through 9. It says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Right? That means people just breaking the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him there is no sin. Somebody say, no sin. Whoever abides in Him, there go that word again, does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Now, let me break this down too, because some people will say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, right? Mm-hmm. I'm still sinning, but I'm saved by grace. That's not what that scripture is saying. You were a sinner. Somebody say, we were.
We were.
But now we're saved by grace. Because does God leave you? Does God keep that sin on you, or does He remove that sin?
Mm-hmm.
He totally removes it. So when He removes it, we can live a life where we're free from sin. Now I'll tell you this. The thing is that a lot of people, they're not in their word, once again, so they don't know the truth. Mm-hmm. Since they don't know the truth, now they're placed back into bondage. You can get saved, these people can get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you stay sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, but you don't know the Word of God, there's a problem. It's like this. You can get in the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. We know a couple people that's in the NBA right now. You can get in the NBA, be great when you get there. But if you stop working, you stop working out, you stop working on your jump shot, what begins to happen? You deteriorate. Matter of fact, you might get put on a practice squad. After that, you might try it again overseas. After that, they're going to be like, man, he could have been a great basketball player. But he didn't have a work ethic. Mm-hmm. You have to work this thing. Amen? Mm-hmm. I do not believe that you get saved by your works. I always got to clarify this. You cannot work to get saved, but once you get saved, you got to work your faith. Mm-hmm. Bible talks about that in James. Work that faith.
Amen.
You have to work your faith. You have to work to become who God wants you to become. Mm-hmm. That never stops. Mm-hmm. If it stops, you're not doing what God wants you to do. It says, verse 7, little children. Somebody said little children. And why does he say little children? Because he's trying to explain to you, listen, man, it's as simple for even little kids to get this. Little children, let no one deceive you. Somebody say deceive you. Why is he saying this in James? Because some people are going to begin to deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a warning. When the Bible gives you a warning, it's just like Daniel giving King Nebuchadnezzar a warning. Listen, children, let no one deceive you. And then it says, he who practices righteousness, somebody say righteousness, is righteous just as he, Jesus, is righteous. All right, so part of being free in God is to practice righteousness. All right? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? To practice being right in God. You got that word. You've been looking that up. Righteousness. And I say this, man. I really enjoy my brother Leandre coming. They take notes. If he don't understand something, he goes up back home and looks it up. We gotta do the same thing. If you don't understand what you're reading in the Bible, ask somebody that may know. Mm-hmm. It's very important. Because you got to know the truth. Amen?
Amen.
It's nothing worse than somebody saying, hey, I will excapate your situation. And you're like, what the heck is he talking about? You know, you don't know whether to say thank you or, man, can we figure out another way to do that? Right? So you have to understand what he's talking about. We have to understand the word excapate means to remove. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand these words that are in the Bible, amen? Yeah. And that was a word I used to look up in high school. I used to look up different words and learn a new word. And I would try to find the biggest words. I wrote a poem called The Exculpation of Sin. And you know, I just love using those big words. There's nothing wrong with big words. You just gotta break them down, amen? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil. Somebody say, of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So, practicing righteousness also is following in Jesus' footsteps. Okay? Next time the devil wants to come to you and say, I'm going to even say this. Sometimes it's your friends. Your friends come to you and say, hey, man, let's do this, bro. We can do this. Now, you don't got to say, Satan, get behind me. When your friend come and say something like that, don't say that, because that might mess the situation up, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus said that before. But what you might have to say is, man, hey, bro, that's not what I do, man. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. That's not how we live. And then you get to explain it to him. Hey, man, and the Bible says, do not be intoxicated with anything but the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I can't mess with that. The Bible says, commit your ways to God. That way seems like that's all about me. I can't do that. When you begin to know the Word of God and be able to speak the Word in every instance, you are walking in righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to come back to that spot again next time I get on, and hopefully that's the last time I do this series. But let's go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and close. Anybody getting anything out of this message we're going through? If you are, go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we have to know God's word. Amen. I believe all of us are at a place where we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We've all been there. We've done that. But we have to get to a place where we begin to become His Word.
Amen.
Amen. The more we get into the Word of God, the more that we'll see the Word of God. And before we get out of here, we're going to pray for anybody that's been struggling with anything. We're going to pray for people that want to be free from the bondage that they feel like they keep getting into. Is there something you want to say, Mom?
Mom called and said that Uncle Dan is in the hospital in critical condition, so pray for him.
Okay. So we'll pray for that as well. But freedom is yours. Amen?
Amen.
Say freedom.
Freedom
is mine.
Is mine.
Jesus came to give you freedom, amen. So let's pray together, then we're going to pray corporately. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for this word. I thank you, dear God, that you spoke even things that I didn't have written down, dear God, to show, dear God, how you are setting us free continually, oh God. I pray to God for your word, oh God, to permeate our life, oh God, to take over, dear God, to saturate our life, dear God, so much, dear God, that we become more and more like you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray to God that this word will not be taken, dear God, as the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy even the word that you speak, oh God. I pray right now, Father, for everybody that's here, dear God, that they will remember the word of God. Dear God, that they will be quickened to the word of God. Dear God, that they will be reminded, hey, I need to get into the word today. Dear God, I pray, Father, for Uncle Dan. Right now, dear God, we come praying in the mighty name of Jesus, dear God, for you to, first of all, touch him, dear God. Speak to him, dear God, and right now, dear God, where he is at, I pray to God that you would set him free, dear God, from what is entangling him, oh God. Dear God, I know that he's heard of you, dear God, but we pray to God that he would accept you tonight, dear God. Heavenly Father, we even pray to God for his situation, his critical situation. Dear God, we pray that you turn that around for your good, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give your name the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it will impact you, that you will continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be.